I encourage you guys to take notes. Write down things that God speaks to your heart about. Because God wants to do a work. And you know, the cool thing about you writing it down, especially in a notebook, you can always go back to it months later, weeks later, even years later, and you can see what God was talking to your heart at this moment in time. And sometimes it just might be a reminder when you go back to it and going, oh, Lord, yeah. So, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you. Because, Lord, today is Father's Day and you're our Heavenly Father. And we come to you to say thank you. To tell you that we appreciate you, we honor you, we love you. And Father, we ask that you would have your way in our hearts right now as we open up the living word. May it instruct our hearts how to live, to build up a most precious faith. And so, Father, we give you this time, and by faith, Jesus, you are here with us. We believe it, and we pray that our hearts will give you that honor and respect. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's see. Ooh, I don't think I'm teaching on this one. How about this one? Today's study is called Building Yourself a Most Precious Faith. Well, if you're an architect, you know, an architect has to think of many factors when he builds a building. More than just the appearance of a building. You know, for us people, you know, we see a building and we say, wow, that's a cool building. But there's a lot of thought that goes behind in building a building. And an architect has to consider the building materials, its purpose, and its intent for the community. And today's studies, we're going to look at these principles. As I said, today's study is building a most precious faith. Now, some scholars, to give you some background, believe that Peter was in Rome when he wrote this letter. And there are some scholars believe that he was in the city of Babylon in ancient Iraq when he wrote this letter. But either way, both cities was known for its architecture. It's known for its fabulous buildings. And the Roman architects were genius when they came to building structures. They built water systems called aqueducts. And, you know, they would bring in water from the river and distribute it through the cities. They would build roads. And even some of those roads are still used today. They're made out of these big stones and amphitheaters and other government buildings. They even invented a cement that would set underwater. Pretty awesome. Yeah. And they were masterful builders. And so Peter's going to borrow this theme of building and him being moved by the Holy Spirit, use some terms that God describes about himself to help us build a most precious faith. The one notable quality about this structure, this building that we are being built into, is that it's supernatural. It is a building that is built without hands. It is a building built by the Spirit of God. And that's what God wants to do in your life. And so, let's look at verse 1. Let's read together in chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You are also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, let's look at God's building materials. Imagine if you were building a building, we'd probably go to Home Depot, right? Yeah, we go and pick some materials out. And, you know, and I've seen guys who have had their houses built, and they tell me, yeah, I went to the site, and I looked at the lumber that they're going to build my house. And this one friend of mine, he's real radical. He said he started looking at it, and he just started tossing it, throwing it. And so there's building materials that we're going to be using. And in verse 1, it tells us materials of poor quality. And that material is, the first of all, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice. Does anybody know what malice is? Does anybody here speak Spanish? What does the word mal mean? Like bad? Yeah, so it's not good. Well, it means like hatred. Malice means hatred. It means being mean. You know, some people are just hateful. You know, they'll make fun of other kids. You know, they're the kind that, you know, they'll, you know, do mean practical jokes just to get a laugh at somebody else's expense. And that's mean. That's like hatred. And some people are saying that. And God says, if you want to build a most precious faith, you need to lay aside malice. It's like looking at it and saying, tossing it away. Just like my friend. He saw those 2x4s, and he saw they were knotted and they weren't straight, and he took them out and he tossed them. It's like a builder looking at these building blocks and saying, oh, this thing's all busted up. We can't use this. And so you toss it out. And so what would be a material of excellent quality other than malice? Well, what's the opposite of hatred? Who? Love? Wow, you guys are smart. I like that. Oh, by the way, you don't have to raise your hand in my class. If you know the answer, just blurt it out. And so it's love. And what is love? Is it that ushy-gushy feeling? You know, you see, you know, this guy and a girl running on the beach, and they're running in slow-mo, and they're going to hug each other and jump. You know, is that love? Is that what God means? My love. See, sometimes we get it all mixed up. What's the difference between I love my mom and dad and I love pizza? Is it the same? It's a world of difference, isn't it? And, you know, let me give you a definition for love. Love is doing what is right and best for somebody else. Wow, I could do that. You don't even have to have those ushy-gushy feelings to do that, right? Now, I love all you guys here. There's no way I would give you a glass of poison. Now, I don't have all these ushy-gushy feelings for y'all, but I love you. I'm going to do what's right and best. I'm going to declare the word of God because I love you. Because I want you to live a precious life in the sight of God. So love is doing what is right and best. Also, let's look at the other building material not to use. The material of poor quality. Deceit. All deceit. What's deceit? Anybody know?
Lying.
Good. Lying. So what's the opposite of lying, Eli?
Telling the truth.
Yeah. Instead of lying, start telling the truth. You know, sometimes the truth is hard to say, right? Especially when you did something you're not supposed to do and you're busted and it's like, oh, okay, I did it. You know, you're more afraid of getting in trouble or you're more afraid of being embarrassed. You know, just guilty as charged. Or if you did something that your parents told you not to do, you know, fess it up. And admit that you are wrong. And so a good building material is love and truth. And another material poor quality is, what's that next word? Can somebody read it for me? We said all malice, all deceit.
Hypocrisy.
What is hypocrisy? You know, nobody likes being called a hypocrite. Okay, what is it? Or you do, yeah, saying one thing. It's like saying, it's like, you know, when you have a conversation with your friend, you know, like, oh, that Johnny, blah, 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 blah. And then you talk to Johnny, oh, that blah, 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 blah. You know, you just be honest. The opposite of hypocrisy is living honestly. Just being honest. You know, some people want to put up pretenses that they're something that they're not. Be satisfied with the human being that God has created you. Be happy with that. Be content with that. Because you know what? God chose you. God made you a special people. So why do you have to pretend you're something that you're not? Right? You know, if you like eating Cheerios with chocolate milk, admit it. It's okay. You're amongst family. You know, I mean, we could be yourself. Be yourself. And I know it's difficult for kids your age because you're getting to that age where, you know, there's a peer pressure and, you know, and the other kids judge you by the way you look and the way you dress and all that. Because I was your age once too. And I remember that. But the most freeing thing for me was to realize that God made me special the way I am. I can't be like anybody else. And I still feel that way. You know, even adults have those trips. Be the person whom God has created you to be. And if you are, you'll be a fresh breath of air. Really. Okay, now the next material of poor quality is envy, the green monster, yeah? Or you're so jealous? Jealous, envy, it's the same word, kind of, right? It's like wanting something you can't have or someone else has. Isn't that miserable? It really is. I hate it when I feel that way. You know, I wish I had that, or I wish I could be that, or, you know, it's awful. And so what God is wanting us to do, the material of good quality, is be content. Be thankful for everything. If somebody gets a cool PlayStation and you're left without none, be grateful for him. Maybe he'll invite you over, you know. I mean, be thankful for things. And finally, the last material of evil is evil speaking, of poor quality. Evil speaking, filthy mouth, just talking bad about people. And, you know, and God has got to work that in my heart, too. It's just like this past weekend, a week ago, my wife was telling me about a friend of hers at work, and he was telling me that his daughter got pregnant. She's like 15 years old, and my first reaction is, how could she be so stupid? That's uncalled for. You know, yeah, it is, but you know what? You got to have compassion. Got to have kindness. God loves that girl. God loves her parents. It's going to be a tough road. But, you know, put away evil speaking. Look for the good in things. Look for the good in people. Look for the good in situations. You know, God doesn't want us to be negative all the time. I don't think he wants us to be negative at all. But, you know, like me, that moment, and, you know, my wife rebuked me. And I thank God for her that, you know, that she says, you know, you shouldn't be that way. Yeah, honey, you're right. You're right. And so God is working in that. So he wants our hearts to be filled with grace, filled with positive things. Look for the good in things. That's a a building material of good quality. Now he kind of moves on, and he's giving us a material of growing quality. Let's read it. In verse 2, what does he say? As what? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The pure milk of the word. By the way, this word is living. The word of God is living, sharper than any two-edged sword. So it's living in us. And he says, like, as newborn babes. Now, how many of you guys have young brothers or sisters? I mean, like babies, bottle fed, or just pretty recently. You know, did you ever see your mom feed your brother or sister a pork chop before they had teeth? No. You know, you might like to gnaw on it, but, you know, you don't feed a baby that. You feed them milk. My little daughter, she's 5 years old, and ever since she was a baby, she always has to have warm leche. She doesn't like cold milk. It has to be warm. And it's like, and before she goes to bed, she has to have her warm leche. She's got to have it, or she ain't going to sleep. And what does milk do? What does that pure milk, that mama's milk, do for a baby? Casey? Yeah. So what are your bones? They're bones, but they're a part of your structure, right? It's like a building. You're growing strong. You need teeth to grow. It gives you vitamin D and calcium and all this cool stuff that you need. Your body needs. Good stuff. You need it to grow thereby. And here Peter is telling us you need this milk to grow, to grow into a build yourself a precious faith. And you know, this milk is alive. Do you know the milk that you drank this morning is alive? Yeah, it was pasteurized and they killed some of the bacteria stuff. But there's bacteria in milk that's good for us. When you eat yogurt, what does it have in there? Acidophilus. These little wiggly microbes of bacteria. And they get in your tummy and they help you digest your food. There's good bacteria. And so that milk is alive. And it's filled with the goodness and grace and instruction of the Lord. You want to live richly. You want to live vibrantly. You want to live wonderfully. Fill yourself with the milk of God's word. Do you have a question? You just stretching. Yeah. Okay, well, that's God's building materials. Let's look at God's building plans in verse 4. You know, this passage is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And I've named I play this game called fantasy football. And my team is called the Living Stones. That's my team. And here he says in verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's also contained in the scripture, and that's Isaiah, by the way. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. To those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. First of all, we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at the architect and the building. Well, the architect we know is who? Jesus. Look at verse 6, where it says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." What in the world is a cornerstone? Why would a cornerstone be important? Any ideas? I see the hamsters running in Eli. Well, let me tell you. Well, first of all, in those ancient days, they built their buildings out of stone. You know, they're superstructures. And when you build something, you need to start from a reference point or a starting point. And so, what if you had a stone that was kind of not so square? It was kind of like a trapezoid, you know. It was kind of all whacked out. And you set that stone on your foundation, and that's where you begin your building. What would happen? Well, not necessarily. What would the building look like? The walls wouldn't go straight. They'd be kind of going off. It wouldn't be a straight line. It'd be like... And so this stone had to be perfectly square, because that's where all the stones are going to be set up against. And they do that today still. Maybe not with houses. Like I was telling Adam, you know, I'm a designer. And we have to start with a reference point. And, you know, when we build, let's say this microphone. And we would look at this microphone and we would draw this. And I just got done with a 3D class and it's really cool. And we would start, you know, I would probably make the center point of this microphone the starting point. And we would build from that center point to build this microphone. That was like, that would be like my cornerstone. And that's what it is. Jesus is that cornerstone. If we don't build our lives around Him, our life will be crooked. It wouldn't be straight. And the stones will not line up on one another. And, you know, I've seen buildings when I went to Ukraine. Well, these buildings were built under the communist government, and their buildings were lousy. And we lived in this, I think it was like a 10-story apartment building. And if you went up to the building and you looked up at it, you would see it wave like this. The bricks weren't straight. They were like, it'd be wavy. You know, I mean, you don't do that. And so we need that cornerstone to be straight. And so it's a reference. And Jesus is that chief cornerstone. Notice the blessings of those who come to Him. First of all, let's look in verse, let's see if I can find it. Verse 6, He says, "By no means you will be put to shame." That's cool. You come to the Lord, God erases all your sins away. No more shame. Awesome. Also, by the way, when you come to Jesus, there's no blame. There's no shame and there's no blame, because God sees you as perfect. Now, Casey, are you really perfect? But God looks at you as perfect. Why? Because you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior. He looks at His righteousness, not yours. And so when you blow it, you say, "Lord, I blew it. This is what I did. Help me." God forgives you your sins. And the devil says, "Well, you know that Frank, he did this." And God says, "Oh yeah, yeah, he sure did. But you know what? He is righteous because of my Son." God gives you his righteousness. So there's no shame and there's no blame. And consequently, there's no flame. You're going to heaven, man. You're not going the other place. You're going to heaven. God is building you a most precious faith. And so also, there's no longer a shame of disbelief or the shame of disobedience or the shame of dishonor. God looks at you as like, wow, precious. Now, let's look at the building. Let's look at verse 4 and 5. He says, come to him as to a living stone. Jesus is a living rock. Something that was dead is now alive, right? Jesus was once dead and now alive. And the same as you. Before you asked Jesus into your heart, you were dead. The day I was born dead on arrival. My spirit was dead. Why? Because I have a sinful nature. And the wages of sin is death. And here God said, you who are once dead are now made alive. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. And when you ask Jesus into your heart, God breathes life back into you. Now, do you always feel it? No. Do you always, but does it have an effect? Yeah, it has an effect. It changes the way you live. It changes your desires. Do you ever long for God? Yeah, it's because God put that in you. You have a new life. And so, we are these living stones. Notice also, he says that in verse 4, we are chosen by God and precious. You know, you're not just dumb old bricks in a wall. You are precious living stones chosen by God. Precious. Let that sink deep into your hearts. You feeling kind of crummy about yourself? Just remind yourself, God says, I'm precious. That is a cool reminder. And so, but we're being built into a spiritual house. See, some people think a church is a building. And it isn't. The church are human beings. We are the stones. We are the church. Now, you can go to this church over here. When I first came here, it was a renovated soccer field. It was the sanctuary. They used to play indoor soccer there. And at one time, it was a carpet warehouse. Great church. And, you know, now it looks kind of good. But you know what? That's all superficial. It's fluff. What matters is you and I, linked together by a precious faith, worshiping God. That's the church. The church is all over this city. It's down the street at Desert Springs. It's down the street at the Del Norte Baptist Church. It's up the street at Hoffmantown. It's across the west side at Hoffmantown West. It's all way out there by Central Legacy Christian. It's all over the place. We are being built into a spiritual house to worship God. And now all of us bricks were similar, right? Have you noticed that the bricks in the building, they're similar? But they're different, aren't they? That's because you're different, aren't you? You're not same as your friend. You're similar. You might have similar likes, but you look different, right? What you may think is funny, she might think, oh, that's stupid. You know, you have different personalities. And God planned it that way. It was by his that some of us are more serious. Some of us aren't. You know, some of us are perfectionists. Some of us are, But what's also is that each of us have differing gifts. And what I mean by gifts is God has supernaturally given you a gift to use to build up the kingdom of God. Each and every one of you. And I've seen some of you work in the children's ministry helping. The gifts of helps. That's awesome. That's needed. Some of you are just very thoughtful. Think of your friend. You write him a note. Oh, I was just thinking about you. I hope you have a good day. You know, that's compassion, that's mercy. The gift of giving, you know. I mean, we all have differing gifts. Some of us like to study the Bible, and I wonder how I could teach this. Well, you probably have the gift of teaching. Or some of you are just so sensitive to the Lord, God gives you words of knowledge and understanding. We all have differing gifts to build this spiritual house, this most precious faith. And notice what he says here. It's an amazing thing. He says, we're being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Did you know that you're a priest? Wait a minute. Now you drew the line. Aren't priests those guys who wear those robes and, you know, and... No. Priests, and this includes men and women, male and female, that we are those who worship God. And notice what he says in verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That is our service to God, is giving him praise, giving him glory, depending upon God, is worshiping God. When you know, God loves it when we ask him for things. Did you know that God loves it when we depend upon him? You know, in our human families, it's quite opposite with the kingdom of God. In human families, maturity means what? Dependence, right? At 40 years old, you don't want to be living with mom and dad, right? You expect to kind of grow up and move out and become independent, right? But for the Christian in God's kingdom and his family, maturity is, I become more dependent upon the Father. Daddy, I need you now. God, that's the opposite. God wants us to depend upon him, and that's maturity. And when we do that, that's an act of worship. Depending upon God, trusting God for all things, asking God for all our decisions to have a say in it. That is worship, my friends. And so, hang in there, we're almost done. And so, he says we are also a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. You know, each and every one of us was born in a special time to serve in a special place. You were called. You were born at the right time. You weren't born 2,000 years ago for a reason. You weren't born in Albuquerque. You were born in Albuquerque for a reason. Because God has placed you so that you will meet up with people in your life and that you could connect with them with your personalities and also eventually with your service to God by sharing the gospel. Now, you may be able to encourage another believer in another church. That's building the church of God. Or you may be sharing the gospel with somebody. That's building up the church of God. Life is ministry, guys. Learn that now. Whatever you do, it's all about serving God. Whether it's doing your algebra homework or practicing your spelling or, you know, the work that your teachers have given you, that's part of your ministry to God. God wants you to use your whole body, your brains, your minds, your heart, your hands and feet to his glory. Don't give it up to the devil. You know, use your life to his glory, to the best that you can. And when you do that, God's going to work supernaturally through your life. It's amazing. You don't even know it. God's using you supernaturally, and you don't even know you're being used by him. That's the amazing thing. And finally, God's building intent. When you design something, you got to have a reason to do it. You know, man invented the wheel. Why? Because it got too tired to carry. You know, I mean, the wheel's a great invention. And there was an intent to better something, to better someone's lives. And here Peter reminds us, beloved, let that word sink in your heart again. Those are the words of God. He's calling you beloved. Let that sink in. I mean, Peter uses a lot of words that describe God's heart towards you. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners or travelers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable amongst the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they, by your good works, may observe and glorify God in the day of visitation. First of all, you're created to be a building of honor. A building of honor. That's God's design intent. That's what he wants to do through your life, to create you a vessel of honor. And that through your life, even though people will speak evil against you, it doesn't hold water. Because they see the goodness of God coming out of your life. They see that goodness and they just throw up their arms and say, God must be good. And maybe your life will break their hearts so much that they'll come to you and say, what is the hope that you have that is in you? Why are you like this? Why on Monday mornings you're happy? Well, it's the joy of the Lord. You know, as believers, we should have a good attitude. By the way, Pastor Eric Lamb, he was recognized at an award at work, and one of the things they said about him was his attitude. Attitude. You know, that's one thing is to be as a dill pickle Christian. You know, all that. Let's be positive. Let's be hopeful. Because God is building us a building of honor, a most precious faith. And he's telling us to abstain from these fleshly lusts. And you know, what are those lusts? Well, we talked about it. Hypocrisy, evil speaking, lying, envy. And you know, we could throw some more in there. Sexual immorality, stealing, you know, those things. They war against our soul. And none of us are immune to them. None of us. And we have to make that decision and say, no, Lord, that is not your way. I got to return from it. Be careful about the things that you meditate on. You know, nobody can help the thoughts that come into your mind, believe me. But you know what? It's like this one guy said, I can't help the birds flying over my head, but I can prevent them from building a nest in my hair. You know, you got to stop your actions right there. Oh, stop. That is not of the Lord, and I need to think on these other things. See, God, the hardest thing about it as a Christian is our minds, our hearts, because we're so exposed to stuff on TV, on the radio, the culture. And God wants us to live differently. He wants us to be holy so that believers, when they see the difference, they're going to give praise to God. So, in conclusion, we are a precious building being built by Jesus Christ. You are his chosen people, precious. You're his holy priest, so we're being built into a holy nation, a holy church, and you're part of it. Grab it. Now, I want to give you three things to take home with you. The first thing is growth. What did we learn in that first few verses? As newborn babes, what? Desire the pure milk of the word. You got to desire it. And one way of desiring it is getting yourself into it. Start reading your Bibles. Start reading it. And if you don't understand, ask your parents. And if your parents don't understand, ask Danny or I. Or not Danny. I'm thinking Danny Schumann. Kevin and, you know, the ministry here. We'll be glad to help you out. Come to church. Hear the word of God, because how does faith grow? By hearing the word of God. And God is building the most precious faith. Secondly, know. Know this. Know this. You are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Know that. So, you know, when somebody says, you're stupid, you know, I say, no, I'm not. I'm chosen by God. I'm special. Because God loves you. And finally, live. Live to honor God. In all that you do, whether you're a Game Boy or you're surfing or you're skateboarding or you're hanging out with your friends, do it to honor God. And let the joy of the Lord fill your hearts. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you have chosen us to be living stones. Supernatural lives, God, built by a supernatural God. God, help us to fulfill our callings in our life. Help us to live the life that you called us. But most importantly, Lord, help us to sit at your feet and enjoy you. To know that you love us and you call us special and holy and we're made for this generation. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us and open our eyes to these truths. And Lord, today we leave this place by faith, knowing that you're in our hearts. And I pray, God, that through this day we will fellowship with you. We will bless our fathers and we will bless our mothers. We'll be blessing to our brothers and sisters. Oh, God, that we would minister to you through these people. We love you, Father, and we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, God bless you guys. Have a great day.